see once Disney's acquisition closed the following January. He scheduled weekly meetings with Bob Iger, Ted Harbert, who was in charge of programming, and other top ABC officials. He flew to New York every week, usually on Sunday evening. He spoke to Iger by phone every day. Disney's acquisition of ABC was the main reason he'd come to Disney. Early in the fall of 1995, Iger, accompanied by Litvak, Bollenbach, and Larry Murphy, spent a week in New York conducting an exhaustive review of ABC's businesses. They took over a large conference room, and each division head made presentations. When it was over, the Disney Group's main recommendations were to sell the newspaper group. Cap Cities owned the Kansas City Star and other newspapers, as well as Fairchild Publications, publisher of Women's Wear Daily, and either to sell the radio division or make a large radio acquisition. Ovitz was aware that the radio business was undergoing rapid consolidation as advertisers sought national audiences. Several deals were in the works that would have relegated the ABC stations from the second largest in the country to ninth or tenth. The proceeds from the sale of the newspapers could be used to buy more radio or reduce debt. When the group returned to Los Angeles, Ovitz presented the recommendations to Eisner. Eisner scoffed at the ideas. He went around the table asking each executive, Bollenbach, Litvak, Murphy, what he thought. All agreed with him, saying selling any of the assets would be a mistake. Ovitz was floored. "Guys," he finally said, "we just spent 5 hours on the plane discussing this and agreeing on this." There was silence. Ovitz felt everyone in the room looked at him like he was crazy. Though Eisner showed little interest in many of the ABC assets, including ESPN, according to Bornstein, he began intervening in nearly every decision at the ABC television network, reading scripts and reviewing pilots. Everyone at ABC conceded Eisner's legendary success as a programming executive. Still, it was disconcerting to hear frequent references to the days of Laverne and Shirley and Happy Days, which were ancient history by network TV standards. People were afraid to say anything to Eisner, so Iger bore the brunt of the complaints. Finally, Iger spoke up. "It just doesn't work like that anymore," he said after yet another reference to Laverne and Shirley. Eisner said nothing, but later complained to Ovitz about it, reminding him yet again that he wanted to find a replacement for Iger. The combination of intense scrutiny from strategic planning executives, known to other divisions within Disney as the Goon Squad, whom Iger considered arrogant and insensitive, and Eisner's sudden intrusion into the planning process, left Iger dismayed, so much so that he intimated to Ovitz that he was thinking of quitting. Though Ovitz knew of Eisner's ambivalence toward Iger, Eisner did not feel Mr. Iger was the right executive for ABC, Ovitz later testified. He thought it essential that Iger stay on, both because he was competent and hardworking, and because it was important for continuity at the network. Ovitz flew to New York early on a Sunday and went straight from the airport to meet with Iger and Willow Bay at the restaurant of the Hotel Plaza Athenae. Iger recalled that the dinner was at the Mark Hotel. Both hotels are on Manhattan's Upper East Side. "I can't take this," Iger said. "I'm supposed to..."